This is your public radio station, WHQR. I'm George Scheibner, sitting in today for Jamila Erickson. She deferred to me because I'm a graduate of the grad school at UNC Chapel Hill. And for
good
many
for
years,
you. Good for you.
And for many years, I listened to this man. Woody Durham has a new book out. It's called The Tar Heel Voice, Many, Many Memories of 40 Years as the play-by-play man for the UNC Tar Heels basketball and football teams from 1971 to 2011. Woody, by the way, will be at Two Sisters Bookery this evening at 6 o'clock to meet you and sign your copy of A Tar Heel Voice. Woody Durham, welcome to Michael Jordan's hometown.
That's right. That's right. I remember I was over at the, it wasn't the Hilton then. I can't remember the name, the original name that was on the hotel that's across the street here, down on the river. But we were there that day. They were having a day for Michael Jordan after the 1982 National Championship. It's also the day that James Worthy announced he was leaving school a year early and going on the NBA draft. And he was one of the top draft choices, and what a pro career he had. A lot of people forget. They think Michael won the National Championship in 82 all by himself, but there was a guy named Worthy and some others named Perkins, Daugherty, and Jimmy Black out on the floor with him.
Yeah, James Worthy, of course, intercepted that pass at the end of the game. What was the guy's name?
Fred Brown.
Poor guy. I felt so bad for him because it just haunted him for years.
You know, James has never told me why he flashed out as he did, but I have a feeling that the reason Fred Brown threw that ball away was the first time in the NCAA tournament that Georgetown had not worn the white uniforms. They had to put blue on because they'd been the top-seeded team up until that game. And I think he knew he wanted to have the ball in either Sleepy Floyd or Pat Ewing's hands, and he probably got a little nervous and everything, and suddenly he sees something white out to his right, so he turned and threw it. But still, to this day, I don't know why James was out that far. He was out of his defensive position, but he was the right man at the right place.
And you made the call on the radio for
that
game
in
1982. There must have been so many memories. Do you have some favorites that you recall? I know there are so many.
Well, I think you have to start with the national championship games, the four that Carolina won. And there's an eerie similarity to both situations because in 1982, although Coach Smith had had a phenomenal record, been to a lot of Final Fours, a lot of people, the national pundits especially, were saying, oh, he's a good coach, but he's not a great coach because he hasn't won the big
national championship.
Well, they don't realize how many big ones you have to win to even play for a national championship. And then, of course, in 93, it was a celebration with a win over Michigan. And much the same situation with Roy. He had taken Kansas to a number of Final Fours. He had Carolina in the Final Four in 05 out in St. Louis. And, you know, they were saying the same thing about him, and so he wins and then comes back in 09 and just, you know, really annihilates Michigan State. It was their second game of the season, and both of them played at Ford Field in Detroit, and they just annihilated Michigan. That game, basically, when you look back on it, was probably over at halftime.
You're listening to Woody Durham, a voice I'm sure many of you are familiar with. Woody, for 40 years, was the play-by-play man for Carolina basketball, Carolina football. He has a new book out called A Tar Heel Voice. Woody will be at Two Sisters Bookery at 6 o'clock this evening to meet you and sign your copy of A Tar Heel Voice at Two Sisters
George, Bookery. Let me get another Wilmington name on the program today. One of my great moments in Carolina football came in 2004 when Connor Barth out of Hoggard High School kicked the field goal on the last play of the game, the final seconds of the game, to beat Miami. And it was the first time that Carolina had beaten a top-five team. And that was a great win. Flash attachments were going off all over the stadium. You would have thought it was a national championship setting. The goalposts at the west end of Kenan Stadium were buried in about 6 feet of concrete, but the students somehow got them down, and they started carrying them out, and they took them, I understand, to Franklin Street that night. So Connor and now Casey. Casey just broke his brother's record this past
his younger brother.
This Saturday at Wake Forest, despite the loss, he had field goals. When I wish we had gotten touchdowns in that situation, but hopefully they'll play better. They'll have to Saturday at Louisville in a 3:30 game because Louisville is one of the top 25 teams in the country.
Well, I can see you obviously still stay very close in touch with Tar Heel Sports, knowing what time they start.
It was so much a part of my being. I know at one of the first games I went to, we went to every home football game last year and every home basketball game except for one. And I made up for it by going with Adam Lucas, who helped me with the book, up to Maryland. He had a seat on his plane, a private plane, and he called up midweek and asked me if I wanted to go. And I'll never do that again. But people talk about the Cameron crazies, but believe me, the crowds at NC State and Maryland are much worse than the Cameron crazies. But anyway, so I'm not going back to the Comcast Center up at College Park anytime soon, and they probably don't want me to come back either. But at one of the football games very early on, my wife and I were sitting there, and I reached in my pocket and pulled out a little bitty index card like that, one of the smaller ones. And the guy next to me, he said, what have you got there? And I said, well, I just made a few notes on the stats of both these teams. And he said, you can't get over it, can you? And I said, well, I'm trying, but I wanted to see or find out, have some idea of what type of game we're going to see this afternoon. Would it be a running game? Would somebody throw the ball around or whatever? And so I still do a little bit of that.
Hard to stop that prep. Now, you mentioned, we were talking a bit earlier, that you'd spent, up to 4 days prepping for a football game?
Well, that's an estimate. I think really it takes about 4 full days, and it's a very regimented week. First off, on Sunday, you start by cleaning out your briefcase and putting everything for the game you just did away or in the trash can or filing it or whatever you were doing with it. And then on Monday, you start to work on the game. You got to make a depth chart for the visiting team. And, of course, the first game, you got to do a depth chart for Carolina as well. But anyway, you have something a little bit every day. So you almost have to be prepared really by about Wednesday, because Wednesday mornings were when we taped the coach's TV show. And then he had his radio show on Thursday night, and I went to practice usually on Wednesday. Why Wednesday? Because that's the day they were, fine-tuning the game plan. And the next morning, Thursday morning at 11 o'clock, 30 minutes with the offensive coordinator, 30 minutes with the defensive coordinator, and if I had any questions about what I'd seen on the practice field, although I don't have a very trained eye for a lot of the things those guys were doing, we would talk. If I saw a guy in a different position, I would ask about that. And plus, they helped us understand the team Carolina was getting ready to play. So, yeah, it was.
You did it for 40 years.
Yep.
You were 13 times North Carolina Sportscaster of the Year. He also won the North Carolina Broadcast. He's in the North Carolina Broadcasters Hall of Fame and the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame. Woody Durham, our guest this afternoon for our midday interview. Do you still stay in touch with Coach Dean Smith? I know he's been infirm.
Well, I do, but I haven't recently. The last time I saw him was probably 2 or 3 months ago, and he's not doing very well right now, George. And to be honest with you, I don't want this to sound harsh or anything, but I want to remember Coach Smith the way he was before this hideous disease took over, because he had a brilliant mind not only for basketball, but he had a brilliant mind in just his everyday life, the people he met. He could meet you, for example, today on the street here in Wilmington, and maybe he'd see you 6 months from now in the concourse at the Raleigh-Durham Airport, where you'd more than likely be changing planes. But anyway, I bet you he would call you by name.
He'd been legendary for knowing all of his players' families and their kids, their brothers, their sisters.
Oh, yeah, and can remember play. He not only remembered plays, the big plays in a game as to who made the big play, but he remembered the guy who set up the big play with a pass to the guy who got all the credit for maybe winning a game.
Woody Durham, the voice of the Tar Heels for 40 years, our guest today for our midday interview. Now, besides writing your memoirs along with Adam Lucas, what else have you been doing in retirement, Woody?
Well, when you were asking me about it earlier, I told you that, about the only thing I'm not doing is I'm not doing the games, because the athletic department at Carolina and the Rams Club, and as well as the General Alumni Association, are keeping me rather busy. And, of course, this book signing tour, Blair Publishing out of Winston-Salem, which handled our book, is, they've set up about 13 of them, including most of the major stops in North Carolina. And I do have one in South Carolina the first Friday of October when I'll be down for the Movable Feast at Litchfield, South Carolina, for Litchfield Bookstore there.
But Woody here in Wilmington today, he'll be at Two Sisters Bookery in the Cotton Exchange this evening at 6 o'clock with his copies of A Tar Heel Voice. You can get your copy there, and I'm sure Woody would be happy to sign it, too.
I certainly will.
That's this evening at 6 o'clock. Woody Durman, great to hear your voice again.
Thank you, George.
I know that's the case for many people here who listen to WHQR as well, who are Tar Heel fans. It's great to have you on the air here, and we wish you the best with A Tar Heel Voice.